Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Look, as an organization, we're obviously very proud of him. The organization has always sort of been built on a progressive mentality. Mr. Davis started that when he was with the team and some of the things he did throughout the years in the 60s and 70s. And Mark has really continued that, and I think you can look to Mark's words for how the organization feels. His first reaction was a genuine one. It's 2021, and we're still making a big deal out of this, but we really shouldn't. I know it is. I know it probably will remain, and we'll look forward to the day when it's not. But the organization is fully behind him and very supportive and proud of what he did yesterday. Mark's father used to say what makes a man different is what makes him great, and you heard Coach Gruden echo those comments yesterday, and that's just what our organization was built on and will continue to be.
That was the voice of Las Vegas Raiders president and CEO Mark Bedain earlier today out at Allegiant Stadium with the announcement over at Allegiant that a huge rugby tournament is coming to Allegiant Stadium, a national rugby tournament, and we can't wait for that. But obviously Mark Bedain, the Raiders president, talking about yesterday's announcement from defensive end Carl Nassib becoming the first active NFL player to come out as gay. And I think, you know, Mark Bedain echoing what owner Mark Davis said, and so many others have kind of echoed as well. This shouldn't be a big deal. It is from a historical standpoint. We all get that. He's the first NFL player anytime, the first of anything, especially of this significance and magnitude. It's going to be a story. But I think here's hoping, and I think we could all agree on this, that this no longer becomes a story in the future when people make announcements of these sorts of things, and let's hope that we don't have to be in a position where anyone has to make any announcement along these lines. But we all know, you know, kind of the history of this subject and the sensitivity of it, and you know, what surrounds it, and sometimes the anxiety it causes, you know, not being or being afraid sometimes to come out and be honest. You know, that is going to it's going to happen, and here's hoping that that is no longer is no longer the case. And I think that the Raiders' backing of Carl Nassib in this big announcement. By the way, I'm getting a tweet, or excuse me, a text here from a very prominent Raider. I'm going to tweet this out here in just a second. But you know, it's just something that I think what the last couple of days have really, really shown is that we are in a position now where it's getting easier for these type of announcements to happen. And what I think, you know, maybe Carl was worried about, he has found out and discovered in a very great way that he didn't have to worry so much. And maybe that's a signal for others to follow now, and to not have that anxiety, and not to be worried about what the stigma might be. You know, maybe that's the best news of this. You know, that you know, it eases anyone's concerns so that people are going to be more comfortable moving forward. That's, again, the takeaway. And, you know, I think that that's a really good message. And I think that that's, you know, the for me anyway, the main takeaway. There's been such overwhelming support from teammates, from colleagues, from peers, from other people outside the sports world, from people within the sports world. There's a sense of, hey, Carl, it's okay. We support you. You're still our teammate. You're still our brother. Nothing changes in that regard. And I think that's the big takeaway. By the way, you're listening to Raider Nation Radio, In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Obviously, the Carl Nassib news has been dominating the day, there's other news, obviously, and the Raiders continue to point toward training camp. We've thrown out that question on Twitter regarding, Damon Arnette and the conspicuousness of what was going on with Damon Arnette over the last, couple of days, post minicamp, in terms of where is Damon Arnette right now. And he's there, he was at practice, but he was doing a whole bunch more watching than actually participating. And it was very, very conspicuous. So want to get your thoughts on what might be going on. And you know what, guys, we've got to take a quick break. Sorry, we're going to get to the calls in just 1 second. But we got a little bit of a breaking situation going on right now. We'll be right back in about 5 minutes, right after this break, and we'll get right to it. Thank you very much.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Sorry about that, guys, just full disclosure, when you in a story like this, when you're getting a text from the face of the Raiders franchise, it's something that you have to deal with. So, sorry about cutting that short right there, but did get a text from Derek Carr, and he has reached out directly to Carl Nassib. Obviously, we're talking about Carl Nassib, the Raiders defensive end, who came out as gay yesterday, first active NFL player to do so. Derek tells me that he told Carl that he loves him. And he also said, his quote was, "I have often said that I love my teammates, and I mean that. We always say we are family in that Raiders locker room, and we mean that too. I want to win a championship here with Carl and the rest of our teammates." So Derek Carr, reaching out to me just as I got on the air. Great timing, right? To share his thoughts. I know a lot of people were waiting on Derek Carr. What was he going to say? He's the quarterback of the Raiders. He's the face of the franchise. He's the leader of that franchise. I think he wanted to give it a couple of, 24 hours or so before, he offered his support, and that's exactly what Derek Carr is doing. And we thank him for that. But without further ado, I want to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in one of my best friends in this business, somebody that I've learned a lot from. He's a colleague. He's a friend. He's one of the best to do it. He's a Hall of Famer. Talking about Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times, and there wasn't anybody that I could have thought of better to bring on in this situation in light of Carl's announcement yesterday than Sam, who's been covering the NFL as good as anyone for the last 20 some odd years. Sam, first of all, I know it's a busy time for you. Thank you so much for dropping by and spending some time with us in the huddle. How are you doing, my man?
Anytime, Vinny. Of course, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I thought yesterday was kind of going to be a slow news day. Got back up from Torrey Pines, U.S. Open, tapped out a little golf leisurely, and then a big story breaks, and what that's like. And so, but I'm happy to come on, and thanks very much for that kind introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sam, you know, it was inevitable that a day like yesterday was going to happen, that, you know, a football player, an NFL player, was going to be the first to make the announcement that Carl Nassib made. And I know that it was inevitable, right? It was just going to happen at some point. Didn't know when, didn't know who, obviously. But what I was struck by, Sam, especially in the aftermath of this, which has been overwhelmingly positive for Carl Nassib, what struck me is this. In his, you know, he posted the video and then he put out a note, a subsequent note. And in that note, he said, you know, he had been struggling with this for about 15 years now. And I would imagine he was struggling right up till the moment he hit record on his phone to record that video. And it's just so, I think, great, beautiful, if you want to use that word, wonderful, that all that anxiety and the matter-of-fact way that he, you know, went ahead and announced it, and then the overwhelming support that he's received afterwards, it's kind of a lesson, maybe, hopefully, that all this pent-up anxiety that we sometimes create for ourselves, suppressing something of this, you know, nature, worried about what that reaction might be. I hope that he's gotten some solace and some peace now in this decision, especially in the aftermath. And hopefully it helps somebody else behind him do the same and release that anxiety. And you know, because on the other side, there's good human beings who are going to accept him.
Yeah, that's well put. And I've gotten my share of emails and messages today, amid all the support for this guy and this courageous decision he made to come out publicly. People said, "Hey, who cares? You know, what's the big deal? I don't care about it. Who cares?" And my feeling when I think about that is that sort of discounts and diminishes the courage that it took for this guy to do this. You may say that, who cares, but you can't sort of dampen, extreme, I just keep coming back to courage, that it would take to do this in this sort of testosterone-infused league and to make an announcement like that. And I spoke to Jason Collins at length yesterday, and I'm sure we'll get into that, but the first NBA, openly gay NBA player. And, you know, he said something that I thought was pretty powerful. He said, you know, in these situations, it's good to be the first, but you don't want to be the last. You want to hold the door open for people behind you. And I thought that was a really powerful message. And when I saw those numbers, which I was not familiar with the Trevor Project or the numbers of, you know, sort of suicidal ideations that people in the gay community have, it's like five times the suicidal ideations for young people, and that's staggering. And to think that we can make a dent in that as a collective is a big deal. That is a really big deal to address. And so I'm so impressed. I didn't know Carl, but just watching that video and hearing his message, and as you said, sort of the matter of fact way that he said it when he had to be. But his heart had to be fluttering out of his chest, you know, I mean, to say something like that. And he was tremendous. So, but some of the messages I thought were powerful talking to Jason Collins. He said, you know, as a sports figure, you're used to inspiring people younger than you and talking to kids. And having fans who are who grew up watching you. But he said when he made his announcement in 2014, He said he was stunned by the number of older people who came up to him, people all ages, including decades older than he was, who said, look, you really impacted my life. And there are many, many, you know, multiples of people who he will never meet and who Carl will never meet, whose lives he's impacted. And I heard he was the number one selling jersey right now, and that's really cool. And this is how change is affected in society. And, you know, people are ready to, I would say, the vast majority of people, I believe, who I encounter, are ready to embrace this, normalize this, hope that someday this isn't a news story.
Right, exactly. And you know, I've gotten the same messages as you, you know, like, why is this a big story? And, you know, my reminder would be, imagine going through your life to the age of 28 and suppressing something about yourself for all these years, and the anxiety that that causes and the stress that that causes. So it's not a big story to you necessarily, but for Carl Nassib and anyone else, everyone deserves the opportunity to live their life free and honestly, and not feel like they have to hide something because of what the perceived reaction might be. For him, it's a big story. Just letting that out and now being able to live the rest of his life free and happy and without having to suppress anything, that in itself is a story. And as you have mentioned, just the people that it will help, whether they're young or old, you know, in terms of coming to terms with that fear, and it does exist. It shouldn't. And hopefully this is another step in that direction where, you know, whatever that stigma might be, and it seems to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller, or less significant and significant every day, that's going to lead, you know, to just a better world in general. And I wanted to reference your article on Jason Collins. And I, you know, urge everyone to go to the Los Angeles Times website and check it out. Because he was the first person that I thought of, you know, not only covered him in high school, you know, and he was a prominent college player at Stanford and obviously in the NBA. And when he made that announcement, the support that he got from guys, players like Kobe Bryant, the giants of the game in support of him, just meant the world to him. And I think that's a reminder for Carl and anyone else that there's more of that than the other thing, hopefully. And you know, and hopefully that is, you know, the message of it. As it relates to the rest of the NFL, other players, teammates, there's been a lot of support, you know, expressed for Carl. Derek Carr just made a statement just a few minutes ago. How do you think that's going to play out? Or are we making too big of a deal out of that end of it?
Well, I was really glad to hear that Derek Carr had made a statement, because one of the things that Jason Collins said was it was particularly important for him to hear from the team leaders, because they really do set the tone in the locker room. They set the tone throughout the organization. And teammates, that was meaningful, but to hear from, as you said, the team and league leaders, I mean, in his case, it was Kobe, it was Steve Nash, who sort of put down their marker and said, look, this is how I feel about it, and I'm in support of this person. And but I asked Jason, because he was a great point of reference. I mean, I think there are real parallels here. And I said, at what point do you, of course, you know, Carl Nassib right now is probably riding an adrenaline high, because everybody is, he's unburdened himself of this and is living his truth, as they say. But also he's just buoyed, I would think, by all the support. But at what point does that taper off and normalize? You know, when do you reach sort of a comfortable cruising altitude in the wake of this? And Jason Collins said, you know, at some point, and maybe at the start of the season, and maybe a couple weeks into the season, this fades into the background and is no longer a story. And people are talking about his production on the field. And I bet he cannot wait to, good, bad, or otherwise, to have people focused on his production as a professional. And it was Jason's sort of, his conjecture was that by week four, I mean, I think it'll happen actually much sooner than that, because I think this may be a one, you know, a 1 or 2 day story at training camp when he addresses it again, and people talk to teammates, etc., and then you move on and life goes on, and that's really good. I think it's good, and I think it's good to discuss these things. It's good the NFL's matched his $100,000 donation to the Trevor Project, and now the league is using its muscle to promote that, and its platform to promote that nonprofit. And it raises awareness, and then we move on, and hopefully we're a little bit more involved in the next month, so the door is held open. So again, I think that having a team leader come out or multiple team leaders come out and express their support has to be very meaningful.
Yeah, I concur, and I completely agree. And you know, I know a lot of people are like, "Has Derek said anything? Has Derek said anything?" And knowing Derek, I think that he wanted to. I don't think he wanted to overshadow the moment. I think he wanted to give it the necessary time, and also for him to reach out. What he said was he had reached out privately to Carl Nassib to express his love and support for him that way, but. You know, it's a big deal whether Derek knows it or not or understands it or not for Carl, and I think for everyone else, for the quarterback of the team, the face of the franchise, to say, "Hey, we got this guy's back," and that's how it's going to be, and that's how it's going to stay. Stam, before I let you out of here, I know you got to run. I really appreciate the time. And by the way, you could follow Sam at LA Times Farmer, and I suggest that you do because he always has great stuff and great content. We're coming out of COVID-19. We're not quite all the way there yet, and there is a bit of a divide, I guess you might want to say, with the vaccination, and specifically with players, some who are completely on board, others who have been hesitant. I think the league is in a kind of a delicate spot, I guess, about that. You don't want to mandate that everybody gets a vaccination because it is a personal choice, but there is a collective element to this as well, because what, you know, player A does could very well affect a player B. There's that reality of it. How do you think the NFL has handled things to this point? And B, is this going to be something that hangs over the rest of the season, and do you think it's going to have any kind of an effect during the season?
I think, addressing your first question, I think the NFL did a pretty remarkable job in that it didn't cancel any of the 256 games, played an entire regular season. I know there were games that were postponed, and there were isolated outbreaks, and there were situation like in Denver when they had to play with a practice squad receiver at quarterback, although I think that was because the quarterbacks broke protocol and were having meetings without masks and that kind of stuff, and more than as opposed to an outbreak that caused them to do that. I thought to pull off the season and not have a bubble, and to learn what they did in terms of, the connection devices and the implementation of that and the data that they were able to deliver to the CDC, I think was pr- pretty impressive what the NFL did. And what a weird year. I mean, to do all this and to have nobody have fake sound. I mean, a year ago, when we did talk about that, it sounded otherworldly. Like, what? They're going to pipe in sound to games? But now that's just, you know, we don't even think about it. Like, of course. And, you know, I think the league is going to want to put, exert whatever pressure it can to get people vaccinated, and probably by incentivizing it by saying, if you are vaccinated, you don't have to do this, you don't have to be tested on a daily basis, you might not have to wear a connection device, or you might, but you're going to have that percentage of people for whatever reason who don't want to get vaccinated. And it's going to be just, I think, a little more complicated for them. Now, for reporters, I think there are also reporters out there who, oh, I know there are, who might not want to get vaccinated, or team employees. And that'll be more difficult, because I don't think the league will be as sympathetic to that. And I don't know if reporters will be allowed in the press box. I don't believe they will if they aren't vaccinated. And that would really inhibit how, you know, you doing your job. So I think that's a very sticky situation. But with players, yeah, the league isn't going to give an absolute that you have to be vaccinated. But they're going to make life a little more difficult by making life easier for people who are vaccinated.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've gotten into this argument, you know, with plenty of other people. You know, my son plays high school football. Guess what? He has to have all of his shots up to date, all of his vaccinations, just to go to the school that he goes to. And my daughter goes to, every kid that goes to a public school has to be vaccinated for various a number of things. I don't quite understand the disconnect over that, like football players, NFL players who have literally been expressing themselves. Cole Beasley comes to mind. You want to just say to him, Cole, you do realize that the only way you're able to play football on a high school football team and college is to have been updated on your vaccines, right? So this thing, this feeling that this is some sort of a new phenomena, and there's like this dictatorship being, you know, decision coming down. This is how we operate, how we've been operating forever now, all of our lives. So I don't get it, Sam, but hopefully.
Somebody made a comment, posted and said, you know, be a Carl Nassib, not a Cole Beasley.
Wow, I like it. I like that a lot. Sam, it's been too long. I really appreciate the time. Can't wait to get you back in the huddle down the road, but super appreciative of your time today. Thanks a lot, and take care of yourself, brother.
Thank you, Vinny, and my best to the family. It's great to hear your voice. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Likewise. And that will happen in California, if not Las Vegas, at some point very, very soon. That was Sam Farmer, one of the best to do it ever, to be honest with you. The great, great, great NFL writer from the Los Angeles Times, kind enough to spend some time with us in the huddle and shed some light outside of Las Vegas on the Carl Nassib announcement yesterday and the aftermath of it, which honestly has been overwhelmingly positive. Although Sam gets the same emails that I get, apparently, there are some people out there who are still kind of, you know, being or showing their lack of evolution. So be that as it may, it's been overwhelmingly positive on the other end. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on another busy day, another busy Tuesday. Derek Carr had to wait until right before I went on air to send out the statement. But thanks to him and his group for giving it to us first, and I truly appreciate that. And it was important for you know, Derek Carr, the leader of the Raider team, the face of the franchise, to come out and say something. And he indicated that he had called Carl privately, expressed his love for Carl Nassib, and I'm sure everything else will stay between those two, their friends and their teammates, and as it should. The rest of that conversation will stay private, but in the text, you know, Derek said that, you know, I have often said I love my teammates, and I mean it. We always say we are family in that Raider locker room, and we mean that too. I want to win a championship here with Carl and the rest of our teammates. I think that that's perfectly fine. That's the way it should be. You know, everyone has their private lives. Everyone does their thing after they leave the building. And that's what life is all about. And what Derek says is, you know, he's a teammate. We love him. I love him. Time to go win a championship. And everything else is doesn't matter. And it shouldn't. And hopefully, here's hoping that it never will again. But we'll probably have a little bit of a ways to get to that point. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in our good friend. And am I allowed to say teammate yet, Q? What you tell me, brother. We're talking to Q Myers, but I'm going to let him, guide us on that.
I mean, I'm always a teammate, man. I'm always going to be a teammate. Let's just put it like that. We're always going to be
beyond. All right. I got you, man. It's been, you know, it's been one of those last crazy 26, 27 hours. So, how it works in the news breaking business. So, we'll just leave it at that for right now. But big things are coming, and I can't wait to announce all of that. But Q, just got that text from Derek Carr. I'm sure you saw the content of what it was that he said, expressing privately his love to Carl Nassib and support to Carl Nassib, and then saying, you know, I've often said I love my teammates. I mean it. We always say we are family in that Raider locker room, and we mean that too. I want to win a championship here with Carl and the rest of our teammates. I think it's perfectly fine. And, you know, I know everyone's going to run with, did he say it this way? How did he say it? But all that kind of stuff. To me, that's like, we got his back. He's one of our teammates. We love him. Everybody loves each other in this locker room. Now we want to go win a championship.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I really do. First of all, I was very happy that Carl Nassib came out and said what he said yesterday. I think it was great. I think that, just like he said in the video, that, you know, unfortunately, it's still a day and time where these videos have to be dropped. At some point, hopefully, it'll just be, hey, it's cool. He is who he is. He's going to do what he's going to do, and that's fine. And like Derek Carr said, go out and win a championship together. But for Derek Carr, the leader of the team, I know there have been some questions from folks saying, you know, has he come out and said anything? Have some of the Raider teammates come out and said anything? Are they supporting him? That was a big question. And I saw a couple of the, you know, the teammates kind of quoted in different pieces here and there. But I hadn't heard from Derek Carr. And so for you to get that, you know, that message and then be able to relay it like that, I think that's great, and it kind of lets you know where the mindset of the leader of the team is in Derek Carr. So I think all is well. I think the Raiders have always been out in front of, you know, these kind of not movements, but these kind of situations as far as, groundbreaking, as they've always done, whether it's a woman in power with the team, if it's an African-American head coach, a Latino head coach. I mean, whatever it is, they've always been in the forefront. And so I think that this is just another step for the Raiders. So I'm very excited, and I think that Derek Carr did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. As have a bunch of his teammates. We've seen, you know, Carl's jersey is the number one selling jersey over the last, 24 hours or so. That tells you a lot about, you know, how people are embracing that. And I think, you know, Q, I've reiterated this a few times now, and that's my biggest takeaway is, you know, in the statement that he made subsequent to putting out that video, it was basically saying that he had struggled for 15 years, you know, making this coming out, basically.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Sorry about the little technical difficulty there, but Q, what I was saying was, you know, all that anxiety that he had, you know, pre-announcing it, and the naturalness and casualness and coolness now that everyone is expressing for him, and support that they're expressing for him, you know, I'm hoping that somebody else sees that, and many other people see that, and are able to say to themselves, anyone that might be struggling the same way Carl was for the last 15 years on how to do this or whether to do this, hopefully everything that's happened over these last 24 years or 24 hours helps somebody else and many other people just say, you know what, it's going to be okay. There's a lot of love on the other side of whatever I'm worried about. And to me, I hope that that's the takeaway that, that comes from this.
Yeah, I do too, and I think that it's headed in the right direction. I really do, just based off all the reaction. And look, I've seen a lot of negative reaction too. I've seen a lot of fans that, you know, feel some kind of way and think, oh, he just put this out there, so the Raiders have a tougher time cutting him if he doesn't cut it, you know, and I don't buy that. I think that if he doesn't make the team, if in training camp he doesn't do what they expect him to do, and he's not one of the best 53, they'll move on from him and just call it a day. I mean, that's business. That's what it's all about. It doesn't really matter who you are, but I've seen some fans say that, and I get it. You know, you always want to kind of look into different angles of it. You don't want to just take it at you know, the surface level all the time, but I just think that it's a good thing. I can imagine that was a huge weight on his shoulders, and I'll tell you from personal experience that anytime I have something that's really weighing heavy on me, it bothers me, and I can usually do a really good job of doing my job and covering up whatever's, you know, on my mind to the point where you don't know there's a problem, but it's just such a burden to me. And then finally when it's not there anymore, or when I finally let it out, then all of a sudden it's like, man, it's like that big sigh of relief. And so even if you don't really notice the difference in me, I notice the difference in me. And I guarantee that you might not, Carl might be the same dude or look like the same dude or sound like the same dude that he was in practice last year, but I guarantee that weight that's been lifted off his shoulders is amazing, and he feels 100% free. Like, there's nothing you can tell him. He is all good in the hood, and I just think that is really, really major, and all the overwhelming support that he's received over the last 24 hours helps in a major way.
Yeah, and I forget where I read this, but somebody once said, you know, anything like that, like what Carl was going through or something that was weighing heavily on your mind. I've had family members that went years without talking to each other, and we've seen that before in life as well over some, you know, something insignificant or maybe even big. Who knows? But every situation like that is a 30-second conversation away from just being dissipated, and like you said, free. And you don't think that, and we fight against ourselves so much, but it literally is the case. It took him 1 minute to make that announcement, and it changed his entire life. And you know, after 15 years or so of fighting against it took 1 minute for it to just go, all that anxiety to just kind of dissipate just like that. And to me, that's a great thing. All right, Q, and we're talking to our good friend Q Myers. Nice enough to drop by and spend some time with us in the huddle on a very important last 24 hours or so. Q, here's the other end of this. Carl Nassib could be in a very role-playing type of a way, be a big part of this defense. We've heard Gus Bradley talk about the importance of putting together not just one defensive line, but maybe two defensive lines that you can rotate in and out, so that when you get to those last 2 minutes of a game, when you get to the end of a season, you're going to be in a much better position to have something left in the tank across the board, rather than, you know, hoping and praying in that last minute or so of a game that guys can dig down and find something that might not even be there to make a play. And far too often we've seen the Raiders not be able to make that play defensively. But when you start stacking up Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Cleve Farrell, maybe Malcolm Kuntz, the interior defensive lineman, Quentin Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, Jonathan Hankins, Darius Filon, and Carl Nassib, that defensive line does have the makings of a pretty good, solid group. And Carl Nassib, I mean, he's a guy that's had 6-7 sacks in his career before. He's shown that he can rush the passer. He could be not a huge part of this defense, but he can give them something that they didn't get from him last year, and in a big way that could have a big impact.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that you asked the question, matter of fact, defensive coordinator Gus Bradley, about Max Crosby and his snaps. And that's when he started talking about that two lines. And he wants to have a big enough rotation so guys are strong at the end of the games, because we have seen guys at the end of games just kind of bogged down and not have enough juice left in the tank. And I think that the best example of that, and I've been saying it for a while, is the San Francisco 49ers, who went to the Super Bowl. They had a healthy rotation of defensive linemen. They had a bunch of first-rounders, former first-round picks. They had so much going on as far as guys that could just get after the quarterback, and they just kept bringing them and bringing them and bringing them. And so there was never a guy out there tired. And so when you ask that question about Max's snaps and could they be reduced, and I feel like Gus Bradley, and this was my interpretation, is him saying that, hey, he could end up on the second line, but he's still going to get a lot of burn because we're going to have the second line out there all the time. But there's going to be a healthy rotation, and that's ideally what they'd like to do. And so that excites me. And then when as it pertains to Carl Nassib, he could be a part of that second line. He could be a part of that heavy rotation. And with this extra weight laid off his shoulders, maybe he goes out there and plays a little bit more free than he even did a year ago and has more impact plays than what we saw his first year with the Raiders. And he's back to that guy he was in Tampa Bay when he got 6.5 sacks and he led the team in sacks. Maybe he gets closer to that. If you get 6.5 sacks from a guy that you probably didn't expect to get that from based off what he did last year, you're really cooking with grease.
Yeah, and you know when Yannick Ngakoue talked about he and Max being a tandem, I think people took that to mean that they were going to be lined up opposite each other, and there are going to be times when they are. But I think it's even more than that. I think he meant as a literal tandem. They're going to be interchangeable in many ways, one replacing the other. In certain situations, on certain downs, so that the combined snaps that they play, in Unique's mind, is going to be the best tandem snaps in the league. That's how I kind of read it. I think you could take it a whole bunch of different ways, but how'd you read what Unique said?
Well, you know, I took it originally as they were going to be on the field at the same time, and I don't think that that's going to happen a whole lot, only because I know that neither one of the guys are super strong against the run. But I also realized that, and I think Gus Bradley said this as well, when he was talking about Corey Littleton, that they might put him on the outside because he sets the edge really well. So I thought, okay, hold on. Maybe they flip this scheme up a little bit. Maybe they get a little creative with the players in this scheme, and so maybe they could end up on the field. But I just think that it doesn't matter when they get on the field. If they're on together, they're still going to be Alpha Dog A and Alpha Dog B. You know what I mean? Like, one's going to lead the team in sacks, and the other one will be right behind them, if not, you know, have the same amount. And so I think we've talked on the show about, you know, if Yannick Ngakoue gives you 8 to 10, which you expect him to do, and Max Crosby gives you 8 to 10, that's already, you know, maxed out at 20 right there just between the two guys. That defensive line only had 21 in 2020. So that's already a win, and you're expecting someone else to step up.
All right, Q. It's the Raiders against the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, and pick whichever game you want it to be. There's a minute left in the game. The Raiders are up by 4 points. The Kansas City Chiefs have the ball. What is your front four going to look like in those obvious passing situations where the Chiefs have to, you know, start a drive and end a drive with a touchdown? What's your starting four looking like in that situation?
Wow, that's a really good question. Man, if you're only up by, well, you're only up four, so you got to score a touchdown. I would love to put Max and Ngakoue on the field at the same time, but I also don't want to give up big chunks of runs just in case someone's able to get outside. So I got to have Klee on the field. I got to have Ngakoue on the field. Man, that's such a good question. I guess I'd roll with Hankins. Hankins or Solomon Thomas, whoever proves to be a little bit better. I think Hankins, I'd probably go with seasoned veteran a little bit. And then, oh, man, I might just have to fall for banana and tailpipe and put Crosby out there too, just because he's going into year three. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go Yannick Ngakoue. Like you said, either Hankins or Solomon Thomas. Klee Farrell and Max Crosby. And I think you're going to see guys lining up right with their hand in the ground. I think you're going to see guys dropping back sometimes in pass coverage, and a linebacker coming from somewhere that you weren't seeing. I think that's where that's headed in that kind of a situation. During the game, it's going to be all sorts of different formations, but I just have that vision in my head where Clee Farrell kicks inside alongside either Solomon or Hankins, and you have your two best pass rushers in Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue flying off the edge.
And I could go for that. I was kind of on that page anyway, and I just didn't know if I wanted to pull the trigger. But the way you have it sized up and the way you have it sounding, yeah, I can see that. I can see that, especially if you have better play from your linebackers as well. I can feel a lot more confident with that. So I'm good with that. You got to have your best guys out there when it matters the most. And the other thing, the other factor here is that I believe Jonathan Abram will be playing up in the box. So I think that he's going to also be a factor in that as well. So that'll help. And he could be a guy that can get after the quarterback in certain situations and get him play that kind of Jamal Adams type role. So there's a lot of different factors that go into this. But, yeah, I can go with those front four that you're selling.
All right, John Gruden and Gus Bradley, Q and I have that part of it figured out. So you can move on to the next. You can move on to the next issue, whatever that might be, and how you want to handle that situation. Q, it's always a pleasure. You know that. Thank you so much for dropping in the huddle and shedding some light on a very important issue, and then also having some fun after that as well. You're always welcome. You know that. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you very soon down the line, my man.
Absolutely, my man. I look forward to being in the huddle with you, man. I'll make it happen soon, I promise.
All right, there you go. That's our good friend Q Myers dropping by, spending some time with us in the huddle. As I told him, I'll tell you, always, always, always appreciate the insight and knowledge. You are in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT. Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.